Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless the reading and the hearing of your word, that your Holy Spirit would take control now and press into our hearts the truths from your word that we need in order to follow you, Lord Jesus. Remind us that your Holy Spirit indwells those who trust in you and equips us and empowers us to fulfill what you have called us to. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then take a sip of water here before I start. We've been going over the book of Colossians, and the subtitle that I've given to it is The Supremacy and the Sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And if you look back to two sections of verses in the book of Colossians, we'll just review the main thesis here of the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians was written to counter, to warn the Colossian Christians about false teachers who had come into their midst and were saying that you needed something else other than Jesus or in addition to Jesus to be spiritually enlightened, to be spiritually have a relationship with God, to advance to that next level, so to speak. And so the Colossian heresy was about these different things that they tried to add, the false teachers were trying to add to Jesus. And so the premise, or the thesis, I'm sorry, of the book of Colossians, it really comes from the first two chapters. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That description of Jesus. That kind of sets the bar high, doesn't it? All things were created by him and for him. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. There is no authority higher than the Lord Jesus. And so chapter 2 then goes into what Paul was teaching the Colossians, saying, don't be deceived by these other teachings that try to add something to Jesus or try to convince you that you need something else in order to live the Christian life. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So Jesus isn't some lesser God amongst the pantheon of gods. He isn't just some angelic being. He isn't some wise teacher, guru that just comes along and has a few good things to say. No, he is God in the flesh. In him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. And so that is the main point of the book of Colossians, is telling these new believers, you are to be about Jesus, and you have what you need in order to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit in you, Christ, the fullness of deity dwells bodily in Jesus, and you have been filled in him. So don't fall for these other imitations that are saying, well, you need this extra special spiritual knowledge, or you need these extra traditions, or you need these other things about which you should add to Jesus. And that comes up in every generation. I hope you realize that there is a new, Paul's day, in the following years, there was the movement of Gnosticism, which focused on the special knowledge that one received in order to transcend things spiritually and to become more enlightened. Well, there's new Gnosticism in every generation. There's new Gnosticism of, well, you need this secret key in order to really follow Jesus. Or you need Jesus plus these other extra background archaeological insights from these obscure groups or whatever. I mean, there's always forms of Gnosticism coming about, new forms of Gnosticism. So we always need to be on guard against those kinds of teachings. But it's not only a statement of doctrine, the book of Colossians, and not only a statement, a delineation of instructions, as we saw in chapter 3, of instructing us how to live according to Christ's teaching. But it's also, this greeting is a personal update. Don't you enjoy when you actually get a card in the mail, a handwritten card, or something that's, you know, not computer generated? Isn't that kind of exciting? Well, that's what Paul, think of the Colossians who were getting these personal greetings from Paul. And it is a telling them of his condition in prison in Rome. So first, there's these two companions, Epaphras and Onesimus. And they were from Colossae because the text says that they were. He refers to them as one of you. So he's writing this letter, sending it with Tychicus and Onesimus. And he refers to Onesimus as one of you. Now, this was written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, which the end of the book of Acts tells about, Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. Now, how do we know that it was his first imprisonment? Well, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says that he was rescued from the lion's mouth, and so he was released at some point. And 2 Timothy is probably the last letter that Paul wrote. So at the end of the book of Acts, we're told that Paul is in prison in Rome, and then he was released at some point, and then imprisoned again, and we don't have the final account of that in the scriptures. But during his first imprisonment in Rome, he wrote the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philemon. And so in this ending paragraph, he details these friends, he details their trust, their encouragement, their love, and their mission for the Lord amidst all of his hardships. I mean, following Christ and sharing the gospel and talking and proclaiming the kingdom of God brings about hardships, doesn't it? The very essence of Jesus' mission brings about hardships. It's not the prosperity gospel, right? The very essence of his mission brings about hardships. Go throughout all these towns, proclaim, tell them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So let's take a look at some of these hardships. Not only was he in prison, but there's other hardships that he went through on his different missionary journeys. This is a small sampling from the book of 2 Corinthians. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles. And then he talks about he and his companions. In 2 Corinthians, he says, we commend ourselves. These are our qualifications for sharing the gospel with you. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. So it's not just these positive qualities that give them credibility with sharing the gospel message with the Corinthians. He says, a part of our commendation is all of the hardships we've been through. And so that is part of sharing the gospel message. And so Paul needed the support of his fellow servants, his brothers and sisters in Christ. And you and I, if we are spreading the greatest news that has ever been heard, then it is grueling. It is grueling today. It was grueling then, and it is grueling today. I mean, just the fallenness of our world is enough to make you discouraged, isn't it? But in addition to that, the very message of the Lord Jesus is offensive because it calls people to repentance. It calls people to recognize where they have fallen short of God's standard, where there is sin in their life, and not just sins in terms of, oh, these are the sins that I've committed. No, in your very nature, we were children of wrath, the Bible says. We were by nature children of wrath. But God, with the great love with which he loved us, sent his son to die for us. And so we need to remember that it is grueling and there are obstacles to sharing the message of Christ. That, brothers and sisters, persecution will come in our country. It's just simply a matter of time. It's just simply a matter of time. And so we don't need to be frightened. Amen? We don't need to be frightened. I think we can get a better amen than that. We don't need to be frightened. Amen. Because what does Jesus say? He says, embrace the responsibility of testifying for our Lord. Rejoice when people say all kinds of false things about you and you are persecuted because of the name. In the book of Acts, it says when some of the early apostles were in prison for preaching the gospel, when they were let out of prison, it says they rejoiced because they were counted worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus. When I was in Asheville a couple weeks ago, I went to a regional meeting for our movement, the EFCA, Evangelical Free Church of America. We had a guest speaker from the headquarters in Minneapolis come, Greg Strand. And he serves all of the free churches around the country, and he's been speaking at different district meetings. And he said this, which really resonated with me. He said, we as Christians tend to be really good whiners. We think that if we are kind, we will gain a hearing with our culture. When we don't get a hearing with our culture, we whine. So then the question is, what should our response be? To become more hostile, to become louder, to holler louder and just parrot the hostility of our culture? No. Our responsibility is to speak boldly and yet be even more kind. That's the challenge. And so for you and I today, what is going to give us the resolve to continue testifying for Jesus no matter what? What is going to give you the resolve to continue testifying for Jesus no matter what? When obstacles come and your faith is threatened, is the church app on your phone going to give you the resolve to testify for the Lord? I don't think it's going to be anything technological. I don't think it's going to be anything that is part of our just the church apparatus that we have. It's going to be that resolve in your heart that says, Jesus is the one who I trust. Jesus is the one who brings lasting hope to humanity. Jesus is the mystery for all the ages and generations, which has now been revealed to his saints, as it says in chapter 1, verse 26. Paul says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles is the glory, are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, that's what we're looking forward to. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that one day we will stand before Him and we will be present with the Lord. And so God is now revealing this mystery that was hidden in previous times, but now has been revealed to His people. What is going to give you that resolve to continue testifying for Jesus no matter what? I hope you can say that in the deepest part of your being, that you belong to Jesus. And that is the highest belonging and purpose and significance that you can have above any other descriptors that the world might put on us. Have you realized how in our culture today there's a sense of defining oneself and just adding adjective after adjective? You know? I can have this ethnicity, I have an adjective for that. And I have this sexual orientation, I have an adjective for that. And I have a political ideology, and I have an adjective for that. And the world just keeps saying, how do you define yourself? Well, you find your slot, and you just add up the adjectives to describe yourself, and this is who I am. That's a lot different than saying, I follow Jesus Christ. What's your core identity? It's not a set of adjectives. It's the object of your hope and your faith and your trust. It's I follow Jesus. And so I hope today that you can say that you follow Him because He is your eternal hope. So what's the main point of this greeting? Well, I could go into a lot of detail about each individual, but I don't think that's the main point. The main point is that God's grace, which saves sinners, also empowers ordinary people to serve together so that the gospel continues to advance. There's a lot of people named here in this passage, but it's an encouragement. At root, it is an encouragement. Paul is saying, they will tell you about what's going on with me, and I want them to greet you and encourage you in your faith. God's grace, which not only saves, also empowers ordinary people, that's you and me, to serve together so that the gospel continues to advance. Everyday, ordinary faithfulness, I think, is underrated. Would you agree? Everyday faithfulness is so underrated. When was the last time you heard a news report on the television? Today, for example, hypothetically, 3,475 men and women in Cary went to work, did their job faithfully, returned home, had dinner, played with their kids, did the dishes, prayed together as a family, and went to bed. That's not newsworthy. But that's faithfulness. That's ordinary, everyday living. Ordinary faithfulness is underrated. I was listening to a recent message, and it was talking about Jesus' words, do not be anxious about what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink. And he said, I talk to people who want to be, they have this dream of being married 20, 30 years and having a family and having all these things and all these successes. And he says, don't think about being married 20 years. Think about being married well today. Think about if you're a single person, think about being single well today. Be faithful today. God doesn't ask you to be faithful years and years ahead of time. He asks you to be faithful today. So God's grace, which saves us, also empowers us, ordinary people, to serve Him, so that the gospel moves forward. So I hope that this text is an encouragement to you and that you can see their faithfulness. So we're going to focus on a few aspects of that. But before we do that, I have one more thought to share with you. And this explains a little bit of the text in verse 16 and 17. In verse 16, Paul says, "And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea." So apparently the book of Colossians was written to the church at Colossae. Laodicea and Hierapolis were two other towns nearby, and so he's telling them, pass this letter along to the other church and read it to them. And then he says, have the letter that is to that church read in Colossae as well. So then the question is, well, what was that letter about? Was that a letter that Paul wrote to the Laodiceans that we don't have access to? Or is that another one of the scriptural New Testament letters? I think that the letter to the Laodiceans is also referring to the book of Ephesians, because Ephesus is not that far from the general area of Colossae, and so it's possible that the letter of Ephesians was passed on to the church at Laodicea, and then Paul is telling them, read this letter also in Colossae. So that gives a little explanation of those verses. But God uses all of these people that Paul mentions in some way to encourage others and advance the gospel, the message and mission of Christ. So first, what's the first aspect of this grace operating in ordinary people? First aspect is this: faithfulness in ministry grows our love for fellow Christians. Notice in verses 7 through 9, he refers to Tychicus and he refers to Onesimus. And look at the terms in your text there. He's a beloved brother, verse 7. He's a fellow servant. Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. So Tychicus and Onesimus were the messengers who were going to take this letter to the city of Colossae. And they were probably carrying the letter to the Colossians, and Onesimus would have been taking along with him the letter to Philemon. Remember, Onesimus was a runaway slave who had become a Christian and is now returning to his home in Colossae. And Tychicus had been with Paul, and he had seen the Jewish uprising against Paul in Greece. And later on, Paul sends Tychicus to Ephesus. So think about these terms: fellow servant. Onesimus is called a beloved brother and one of you. That is, he is intentional. He is urging the Colossians, and also specifically Philemon, in the book of Philemon, to accept Onesimus as more than a servant, more than a bondslave, but as a brother. We have the text in the book of Philemon: for this perhaps is why he, Onesimus, was parted for you for a while. Paul is writing to Philemon, saying Onesimus was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So he's saying, basically, since Onesimus had been faithful in this ministry alongside me, welcome him as a beloved brother. Onesimus's name actually means useful. Useful. And so there's a hint of faithfulness in his very name. He had shown himself trustworthy to Paul since becoming a Christian. And so faithfulness grows our love for fellow Christians. So the implication for us would be this, I think. How do we look at people whom we serve alongside in the church? Do we trust them? Do we know them? Do we see them as only a means to an end, as only volunteers? I'd like to strike that word from our vocabulary. Volunteers in the church. Well, yes, we need volunteers, but we're all serving the Lord. Amen? Volunteer has the implication of, well, I'm volunteering in the community, or I'm volunteering in this other setting. Let's make sure we're using biblical terms to refer to what we're actually doing. That's just my personal thought. I'd like to use the word servant more than volunteers. Do we see brothers and sisters that we serve with as beloved siblings? Do we see them as fellow servants without whom our efforts would not be effective? Do we see them as fellow parts of the body of Christ, where Paul says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The ear can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We all need one another. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to guard our minds and our hearts against comparison and see one another as necessary for cooperation. Cooperation, not comparison. because faithfulness in ministry over time grows our love for fellow Christians. Now, the second aspect here that we see in verses 10 through 14 is this. He sends greetings by these other folks who are going to go, who are with Paul, The second aspect is this. Holy Spirit-led cooperation develops endurance among people with different skills, personalities, and backgrounds. This is quite a host of people here. Different skills, personalities, and backgrounds. He refers to Luke as the beloved physician. He had a specific skill set. Luke had a specific skill set. There were times when they needed his expertise, not just his prayers. Amen? When Paul was beaten with a rod, when Paul was given 40 lashes minus one, as he says. There were times when they needed his expertise. I want to encourage you, you can do ministry. You can serve the Lord with whatever skills God has given you. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I can't teach the Bible, or I haven't been to this training, or I don't have this biblical background or whatever. You can serve the Lord with whatever skills God has given you. Sometimes we restrict the work of the Holy Spirit by limiting ministry to one or two particular gifts. I saw a video this week that was a testimonial video of families that had taken children in through foster care. And a couple of these families, they just need a lot of help. And so there's one church in the area that is basically hosting a support group once a month for families who have taken in children through the foster care system. And the one lady was giving a testimonial, and she said, there's a ministry called Loads of Love that serves foster care, serves families that have children in foster care, or hosting foster care children. And the Loads of Love ministry, guess what they do? Laundry. They come to your house, they pick up the laundry, they take it to the laundromat, they fold it, they clean it, they bring it back. And this one lady was sharing her testimonial that we have three children of our own, but we are caring for two additional children who are in foster care. And it's such a blessing to me to have someone come and pick up the laundry and bring it back. Now you say, well, that's not really a specialized skill. Well, I mean, for me, that's a specialized skill, doing the laundry. I mean, you know, my first time in college doing the laundry. Okay, red T-shirt, white socks. Shouldn't put those in the same load again. I had pink socks for a couple weeks there. But you can serve the Lord with whatever skill God has given you. And the Holy Spirit has to lead that cooperation. Look at the different individuals listed here. He mentions Mark. Look closely where he says, greets Aristarchus greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. So at some point, there had been a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas over Mark. And earlier in the book of Acts, it tells us about that. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of God and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. So there was enough of a conflict where Paul said, you know, Barnabas, you and Mark are going to go here. And Paul goes with Silas somewhere else. Now Paul is writing to the Colossians. He's saying, Mark is the one whom you've received instructions about. If he comes to you, welcome him. So at some point, there was Holy Spirit cooperation there. There was restoration of whatever disagreement they had had earlier in the book of Acts. And so for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ's message going forward, Paul and Barnabas and Mark had reconciled, and now he's telling the church at Colossae, welcome this person, cooperate with him, work with him by the grace of God. That only happens by the grace of God. That only happens by the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, we don't have in our own strength the endurance it takes for the gospel to go forward. We don't have in our own strength the endurance it takes for the gospel to go forward. Look at Paul's description of how difficult ministry is. Colossians 4:11, he says, Jesus, who is called Justice, Justice being the Greek equivalent of the name Jesus. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Again, what was Paul's ethnic heritage background? He was Jewish, but he was called to go and preach to the Gentiles. And so you can read in the book of Acts, wherever Paul went, someone described it very perceptively, wherever Paul went, there was either a revival or a riot, or both. And so the other Jews didn't accept the message of the Messiah. And so Paul is saying, these men of the circumcision, these men of my common Jewish heritage are the only ones who have stayed with me. And they have been a comfort to me. And so they probably wept with Paul when he had tears over his fellow Jews rejecting the Messiah. They probably reassured Paul when he was slandered. They probably gave him first aid after being beaten or when he was on the run. How does God comfort us? How does God comfort us? Does he not comfort us by his Holy Spirit directly and also by the hands and the words and the actions of other believers? Doesn't he do that? So Holy Spirit cooperation brings together people of different backgrounds, different personalities, different skills. Look at the names again. Aristarchus. So Aristarchus had Jewish heritage, but he had a Greek name. And so there's a difference of ethnicity there. And so the gospel is taking hold in not only areas where there were Jews, but areas where there were Gentiles. That's Holy Spirit cooperation with different people. And God uses different people to minister to us. What's the third aspect of God's grace in ordinary people's lives? God's grace empowers our diligence so that no work done for the Lord is in vain. Look at verse 12 in chapter 4. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras probably started the church in Colossae. In chapter 1, Paul says that to the Colossians, he says, you heard the word of truth. You heard the gospel from Epaphras. And so Epaphras had a lot invested in the church at Colossae. It says he's always contending for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured. Contending or struggling for you on your behalf in his prayers. The Greek word there is agonizomai, which is where we get the word agonize from. He's struggling in his prayers on your behalf. And so God's grace empowers that diligence. Epaphras cared so much for these new Christians that he prayed continually. He probably prayed when he didn't feel like it. He prayed when he was exhausted. He prayed when he was busy, and he probably prayed when he wasn't busy. And so we train ourselves to be diligent. Why? Because our effort is empowered by God's grace. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So right before that it says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. Well, is it God's work or is it my work? Well, ultimately it's God's work, but God works through my meager efforts. I was talking to someone by message yesterday, and I said, at the judgment seat of Christ, I think we will be humbled at how the Lord used our meager efforts, and I think we will also be amazed at how God mitigated the damage of our mistakes. I think we will be humbled at how the Lord used our meager efforts, and we will be amazed at how he has mitigated the damage of our mistakes. So we train ourselves to be diligent because our effort is empowered by God's grace. Now, how would you like to be Archippus? I mean, this whole letter is read to the church, and then the next to last verse, Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given you. Did you ever have that feeling when you're in class, the teacher, you know, calls you out at the end of the class, or, you know, come talk to the teacher or whatnot? You know, it probably didn't feel too good for Archippus to be named at the end of the letter. But it is a reminder. That was supposed to be humorous. There was no humorous reaction, you know. I wouldn't want to be Archippus in that situation. That's all I'm saying, is that, you know, here's this whole letter, and he says, Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. But it's good because in the book of Philemon, Paul refers to Archippus, he says, our fellow soldier. Our fellow soldier. So there was something important that Archippus was given to do. We don't know exactly what that is. But here's a few lessons. Some of us simply need reminders to keep going. We get distracted. We forget. A crisis happens and we get off track. We simply need people to point us back to what God desires us to be doing, either gently or forcefully. And so, again, this is just a bit of a reminder. Keep on track. Keep fulfilling the ministry that the Lord has given you. And secondly, ministry is received from the Lord. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. It is a task that God puts in front of us. It is not all up to us, nor is it something that we can shrug off or simply pass over. Since it is received, it is something that God is doing. And we can trust that no matter how imperfect, how meager, how half-hearted our effort may be, or even how self-righteous our effort may be. And sometimes we convince ourselves that we're doing this great thing for the Lord. In all of that, in all of whatever our effort is, God is gracious, and none of it goes to waste. Continue serving the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In the Lord. I think that means that we don't always see the results in our day and time. We don't always see what God is doing. But in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let me close with one story that illustrates that point. Some of you who know the history of missions, American missionaries going overseas, may remember the name Adoniram, that's a mouthful, Adoniram Judson, arrived in Burma or Myanmar in 1812 and died there 38 years later in 1850. During that time, he suffered much for the cause of the gospel. He was imprisoned, tortured, and kept in shackles. After the death of his first wife, Anne, to whom he was devoted, for several months he was so depressed that he sat daily beside her tomb. 3 years later, he wrote, God to me is the great unknown. I believe him in him, but I cannot find him. And yet, Adoniram's faith sustained him, and he threw himself into the tasks to which he believed God had called him. He worked feverishly on his translation of the Bible. The New Testament was finally printed, and he finished the Old Testament in early 1834. So he arrived there in 1812, died in 1850. Statistics are unclear, but there were only somewhere between 12 and 25 professing Christians in the country when he died, and there were not churches to speak of. At the 150th anniversary of the translation of the Bible into the Burmese language, Paul Borthwick was addressing a group that was celebrating Judson's work. Just before he got up to speak, he noticed in small print on the first page the words, translated by Reverend A. Judson. Paul Borthwick turned to his interpreter, a Burmese man named Matthew Wynn, and asked him, Matthew, what do you know of this man? Matthew began to weep as he said, "We know him. We know how he loved the Burmese people, how he suffered for the gospel because of us and out of love for us. He died a pauper, but he left the Bible for us. When he died, there were few believers, but today there are over 600,000 of us, and every single one of us traces our spiritual heritage to one man, the Reverend Adoniram Judson." And Adoniram Judson never saw those results. And that will be the case for some of us. We may be called to invest our lives in ministries for which we do not see immediate fruit, trusting that the God of all grace, who oversees our work, will ensure that our labor is not in vain. Let's pray.